Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Atlanta sports doesn't stop for the weekend.
Radio on the weekends.
And neither do we.
Keeping you up to date all weekend long.
On the weekends, that's all I listen to, really.
The home for Atlanta sports on the weekends. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Final hour for me on a Sunday afternoon, warm Sunday afternoon. John Fricke with you on the Twitter X at my name. I post under my name at Twitter X, and I post under my name. By the way, Elon, can you change the name back, please? And on Facebook, under just my name, JohnFricke. With my picture there, I don't use sock puppets. For those of you who know on sock puppets, no, that's not what a sock puppet is. A sock puppet is a phony name on the social media. You didn't know that. Okay. Anyway, so I only post under my name. So everything is transparent with me. I mean, I don't try and shout anybody down without putting my name behind it. You know, I don't try and make a point without putting my name behind it. Same here. 404-726-0929. Talking about the Falcons, ESPN ranked the Falcons position units. The offensive line, they said, was fourth best in the NFL. Highest unit was running backs at third overall, though I can make an argument this should be second. But fourth, number four offensive line, number four interior defensive line. So, hey, the bad part of that is they ranked the edge as 32nd and last. And it's like, okay, so I guess we need some help. And so 404-726-0929. Also talking about the Hawks and the golden opportunity the Hawks have. This is Sunday of draft week. You've heard the promos. Mike Conley and a whole bunch of people are going to be covering the draft Wednesday night, State Farm Arena, to see who the number one pick is going to be. So where do you stand on all of this with the Atlanta Hawks? It is the biggest week in the history of this franchise, in my opinion. I've only been following the franchise. I wasn't here for Pete Maravich. Very end of Lou Hudson, okay? But I was here more into the Hubie Brown years. It was like Armand Hill and John Drew and, you know, the kind of that crew, you know. So those guys back in the kind of mid-late 70s, you know, leading up to Mike Fratello and, of course, you know, the Dominique years. So that's where I go back to. So I don't go I'm certainly not going back to St. Louis Hawks. So, but in the time that I've said, I don't think the Hawks have ever had a more golden opportunity, especially with an owner who has deep pockets, who has said he is committed to building an NBA world champion franchise, and I take him at his word. So the man says that. He's done everything else to do it. The final piece is that roster, and this is the opportunity to change that roster. 404-726-0929. Let's go to Lee in Johns Creek. He is on with John. Hey, Lee.
Hey, John. I talked to you yesterday, and I thought of something about the Hawks again. The, Travis Slink, who I thought did a great job for us, you remember, but he quit, if I understood it, because they wanted to, get the guard, the other guard for, you know, next to Trey. He said he didn't like the idea of giving up the three picks to get DeJounte, you know, the guy. And I'm just going to say that I think that Landry Fields is really on the line to turn this Hawks around, because he went against Slink and Slink disappeared, and I thought he was really good general manager. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, just for again, I mentioned this yesterday. I've had private conversations with Travis. I'm not willing to disclose those private because they were private, and the idea of what you said is not 100% accurate. I'll just say that. But some disagreement within the organization about the direction of the organization on more than one level. Okay. So it's not just as simple as some people want to make it out to be. Suffice to say, he's not here. Okay. It doesn't matter. He's not here. What matters is right now today.
I understand that. But okay. I'm just saying. Okay. He's got Landry's foot.
Okay, again, it doesn't matter.
Let's talk about today. On his shoulders to make sure he does the right picks and everything.
I understand that. But again, notwithstanding anything that happened prior to his being here, we're only talking about today. Okay, what's happened is Has anybody up there ever been divorced and you're like sitting here trying to convince the other person, what's important is what we do now, you know?
Yes,
and all they want to do is live in the past. Okay. What's important is what we do now. Okay. What we do from this moment on is what's important here. So they have to win all three phases. It is what it is. All right. Nothing you can do to change that. And now you got to win all three phases. The question is, will they win all three phases here? And that's going to take a combination of, they've already gotten one part of the combination unlocked, and they got, and that was the luck. You have to have a bit of luck. They got lucky. They got the lucky part, right, with the number one pick, correct?
Right. Mm-hmm, sure.
Right. The second part is to be smart and to be active. And they haven't so much done that yet. Now they're going to have to do that. And the third part of that is the owner willing to spend the money to back up the smart and the active.
Yes, and I think you will. I would
hope so.
Think a lot. There's that. Anyway, and one other thing I want to mention. I said I'm really excited about the Falcons and what they're doing, and I think that's going to be a great summer. You know, heading into the NFL and what we have built is looking really great to me for the Falcons.
Yeah, it's going to be really an intriguing year. I mean, my hopes. I appreciate the call, Lee, 404-726-0929. Are buoyed by the fact that what's coming out of Flowery Branch, and the latest is Ike Hilliard, the superstar, great wide receiver, who's now the receivers coach of the Atlanta Falcons, basically saying, sky's the limit for this passing offense for Drake London. So he's out there. You know, they're being very vocal about what they expect to see, and that's a good thing, because a lot of times you get, you know, guarded coaches who say, well, you know, we'll see what we're going to see, and you know, we're working at it. No, Raheem Morris has said Super Bowl multiple times. I killed you, and I'm glad of that, because again, speak it into existence. Because all too often, coaches mumble through things, and players hear what the coaches say, and they understand that the coach doesn't have a high expectation of somebody or another. Just be clear. Look, if you don't have a high expectation of somebody, you say, look, don't like you. Don't have a high expectation of you. Prove me wrong. If you have a high expectation of somebody, say, look, my expectations for you are through the roof. You better prove me right. And so by saying things clearly and loudly and publicly, I think it's a good thing, because it holds people accountable to raising their and elevating their game, no matter what kind of position they fall in the line. All right, let's go to the next call, which says here, some Ohio dude. Some Ohio dude, welcome to the show.
It's the Buckeye Bengal Brown Falcon, John.
Oh, okay. And, well, it just says some Ohio dude here.
Yeah, the Bucket 3BF. The Buckeye Bengal Brown Falcon. The reason that's my handle is because I was born in Cincinnati, raised in my young life in Cleveland, and then middle school on here in the A. So I have an interesting perspective on Georgia and Ohio sports. Now, I'm not calling in about football, John. I'm calling in to give the Hawks the secret sauce to win the draft. All you got to do, since this is the worst draft in history, is just go on and take Bronny, number one, de facto drafting LeBron James as your number one pick. Now you fix your problem with Trey and leadership, because LeBron is the leader. And you also fix the problem of people wanting to come play, because LeBron will get them to come play. Simple.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
That's out of the
box. It's just not going to happen.
Why?
Don't have the money for it.
For LeBron's son?
You don't have the money to pay LeBron James.
Get rid of who you need to get rid of, John.
You'd have to get rid of the whole team.
Well, that's what they get paid the big bucks to figure out, John.
You'd have to trade. So you'd have to trade Trae Young for starters, correct?
Negative.
No, you can't pay Trae. You don't have the money to pay Trae. You can't pay Trae and LeBron.
Then how do they have the money to bring Trae to L.A. then?
Because L.A. will massage the cap and go over the cap into a luxury tax so extraordinary on a one-shot deal here. But the Hawks don't want a one-shot deal. Because we don't want a one-shot deal. Because we don't want a one-and-done deal. Because you're going to pay an exorbitant. Bringing LeBron here is not going to win you a championship.
LeBron
I don't
and
think.
Trey?
I don't think that I think the Lakers would be making a huge mistake in trying to pull that off.
If you take LeBron's son, he's going to come here, correct?
No, I don't think Bronny's coming here.
Draft LeBron's son number one, LeBron is going to come here to the Hawks, correct?
Well, I don't know that. I mean, that's what people think. But are you 100% sure about that? I mean,
certainly sounds like.
His son
before
well,
he
I do too.
He
I understand
no
that.
Choice,
I know. I mean, which means his son is going to be
box,
overdrafted
John,
because
like
his son. Look. 3BF here. All right. So 3BF here. Just work with me here on this. LeBron, Bronny James. Okay, Bronny. Okay, doesn't deserve to be drafted at all.
Well, you're not
correct?
Drafting him. You're drafting LeBron, John.
I understand that. I'm not talking about his dad. Bronny James himself does not deserve to be drafted at all, correct?
Who cares about that? We care about getting the championship and getting LeBron here, John.
Yeah, no, I ask if whether or not you would do that if you're in the second round. But, yeah, again, you know, there's
– I do it number one
would
overall,
it work?
John.
I mean, does it guarantee you a championship? And I appreciate your call there, Mr. Ohio, some Ohio dude. I mean, I understand it. I mean, I've seen it out there. He's not the only one who said it. You know, whoever gets Bronny is going to get LeBron. Yeah, I mean, you could spend that kind of money on a one-year shot with LeBron and Trey. Boy, you're putting a lot of people's – it better work. I think the biggest issue to me is how does that work? I mean, how does Trey and LeBron work? How do they work together? You know, I mean, how does that – you got two guys that have to be the guy, right? And that isn't that kind of like not how it works? This team is best – this Hawks team has been at its best when Trey's the guy, correct? I mean, we all understand that. One of the reasons I think they've had a problem over the last couple of years is because they minimize the fact that Trey's the guy. If you let Trey be the guy and put really good guys around him like you did when they, I don't know, went to the Eastern Conference Finals with a really good bench and you have guys like Gallo and Herter. I mean, you had Lou Williams, you had Solo, you had guys around him, you had Bogey, you had guys around him, but you let Trey be Trey – and be that guy, but when you take Trey away from being Trey, he kind of, I don't know if it's whatever reason, he's not Trey anymore. He shows flashes of it on occasion, but he's not night in, night out, he's not Trey. It's like you lost logo shooting Trey, right? Remember logo shooting? He's not like he forgot how to shoot those logo shots, he just, all of a sudden, that's not what we want to do anymore. I'm like, oh, okay. I don't know. I mean, I understand, look, the Ohio dude there is echoing something that some other fans have said, let's make a one-shot deal at this, because it's a one-shot deal, okay? It's a one-shot deal. At his age, LeBron is got one season, maybe two. I mean, dude's 40. I mean, it's father time undefeated here. I mean, and yes, if you win a championship, you go, hey! And then, of course, everything goes to crap because he's gone. The whole thing is, you know, all right. So if you're willing to sell yourself out for 1 year and taking a shot at it, that is the biggest gamble you could take. Hey, listen, if you're down for it, you're down for it. They better do it. Because the fallout from that, following that, is going to be you're starting over from scratch, which is okay. Look, the whole point is to win the title. Florida Marlins did it twice. They won it all. Dump the whole team. We don't want Kevin Brown. We don't want Gary Sheffield. They can all go. Then they won it all again. Hey, and then they dump the whole team again. And what's it gotten them? Yeah, they get 3,000 fans a game now. All right, a quick break as we continue on Sports Radio 92 on the Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The home for Atlanta sports on the weekend.
On the weekend.
The whole weekend.
Atlanta sports doesn't stop for the weekend, and neither do we.
The weekend.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yeah, I appreciate Some Ohio dude jumping in here with what he thinks is the clever way to get a championship. But it's not going to happen, okay? And don't even really entertain the thought. I've seen this before with other people. LeBron is not coming to Atlanta. He is not coming to Atlanta. It wouldn't matter if the Hawks drafted Bronny number one. First off, Bronny doesn't deserve to be drafted. I mean, not even a two-way guy. He's a G League guy. I'm not even sure he's that. But he doesn't deserve to be drafted. The reason LeBron opted out of his contract with the Lakers is his people go to the Lakers and say, we're opting out. Oh, okay. Well, we really want you back. I know. So here's what's going to happen, because LeBron's calling the shots. You and the second-round Lakers are going to draft my son, Bronny, and then the second you say you do that, I'll sign a contract with you. And I'm going to play with Bronny, you know, this year and maybe next. And the Lakers go, okay, well, I guess we'll have to do that. You know, I mean, but it's going to be up to the coach what kind of playing time he gets. And LeBron's going to go, well, all right, you know, for now I'll say that anyway. But, yeah, okay. If the Hawks were to draft Bronny, first off, number one, for a guy that doesn't even deserve to be drafted, what would LeBron's people say to the Hawks? LeBron would say, because they put the word out, don't be drafting Bronny, okay? Just don't. Because LeBron's people will say, if you draft Bronny, number one, LeBron is still not coming to Atlanta, okay? We're going to force you to trade Bronny to a team where LeBron is going to be, you know, at. And that is, you know, Cleveland or Miami. Trade him to Cleveland, trade him to Miami, you know, trade him to the Lakers, you know, and so LeBron will play with his son. And the reason you can force a trade is because you offer so much in return for Bronny that you can't keep Bronny. He's no good. So the Lakers would offer you, okay, we'll give you, you know, you put them in a box, but they'll go, okay, we'll give you, you know, a first round pick, and we'll give you this guy, and, you know, we'll whatever we take, you know, we'll give you a lot for him, far more than he's worth, in order to keep LeBron. And you can't turn it down because you realize once you took Bronny and LeBron's not coming to you, that you're stuck with a guy that's no good. It would be the dumbest thing you could possibly do, okay? Because LeBron is not coming to Atlanta. Now, he might go to Cleveland, drafts him, but LeBron's already put the word out. Okay, so LeBron's people have talked to every team in the league. Don't draft Bronny in Oklahoma City. LeBron's not coming there if you do. And don't draft, you'll be stuck with him. And don't draft him if you're, you know, Houston, or don't draft him if you're Chicago or Denver or whatever. Don't. Because I think there's only three teams he's willing to go to. He'd go back to Miami, he would go certainly back to Cleveland, or he'd be with the Lakers. And that's it. And everybody else, he's like, don't, because I'm not coming if you do. And so you're going to be stuck with a guy that's no good, right? So don't. It's not, LeBron is not coming to Atlanta to play for the Hawks. And I'm not even sure that would be a good idea, because I think I just have this sense that, all right, Dominucci is running the show. Dominator. Dom, you do all the Hawks stuff with me, right? I mean, when we're doing the pregame and the postgame and all that kind of stuff, you do, you know,
yes, sir.
The games that I do, you're always mm-hmm. over me. So obviously you're watching all the games, and you know that. I think LeBron and Trey together would be kind of toxic.
Well, I've seen LeBron make it work with guys that were bigger headaches. Like Kyrie Irving proved that he was a headache. Kyrie Irving just kind of recently got his stuff together and like was a serviceable teammate in Dallas again. So I won't say that it couldn't work, because I think LeBron has shown that he has the range to make it work with whoever, but I don't think it works in the sense of bringing a championship here. I don't think it would be worth it.
Yeah, I don't either. And by the way, he ain't coming here. I'm telling you, if you drafted Bronny, he would say no. And he'd be stuck with Bronny James, who no good, okay? He's not an NBA player. This isn't like Tiger and Charlie, and Tiger hoping to play in a tournament 4 to 5 years from now with his son. That's all up to Charlie to qualify for the tournament, and Tiger can play as long as he wants. And there's no team. There's nothing. I mean, Tiger can suggest, you know, to a certain tournament, hey, if you want me to come, you have to pair me with my son the first 2 days. And what would the tournament say? Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Sure. Of course they will. But that's it. That's the extent of it, right? Yeah, I mean, look, the next 10 days are going to be, I want to just forget about this, because that's pipe dream, it's not going to happen. The next 10 days are going to be so fascinating for the Atlanta Hawks. Dom, what do you think is going to happen?
You know, as I sit here, I know we keep on hearing, you know, the Alex Starr's representation talking about, you know, possibly not wanting to go to Atlanta and the Hawks aren't working him out. It still feels to me like that's the pick. I think it's either Sarr or Risa Shea. I don't think it's Klingon or Edie or anybody like that.
Well, it's not Edie. You can't take Zach Edie's.
No.
Zach Edie's no good. Zach Edie's a 7-7 guy off the bench in the NBA. That's what he is. You want to draft a 7-7 guy? That's what Zach Edie is.
Yeah.
And if fans don't understand that, I can't help them.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've watched Zach Edey play 50 college basketball games.
Right. But I still think it's either Sarr or Risa Shea. I'm still siding with it's going to be Sarr. But we'll see. Like I said, I wouldn't be surprised of a trade. I actually think they would trade it before they draft Risa Shea. Like, I think it's either Sarr or they trade to, like, San Antonio or somebody for, like, 3-8 or something like that.
Yeah, 4-8. Yeah, I mean, they could. But I think they need to make the trade first to open up the possibility of getting a free agent, to extending somebody. You know, you make it a deal to get another starter in here. Now, I've heard a lot about Brandon Ingram. Sure, I mean, obviously, I'd make that trade in a heartbeat. DeJounte Murray, Clint Capella for Brandon Ingram and whatever. Yeah, sure. Yes, I'd make that trade in a heartbeat. And bring Brandon Ingram here to run alongside Trey. So if you're a free agent and you're looking at the Hawks going, oh, okay, you have Trey Young, you have Brandon Ingram, you have Jalen Johnson, you have Hunter on the bench and Bogey, you have this other starter that you just drafted, number one, or Risa Shea or whatever. Okay, now I'm kind of interested because I think you've got something going and something cooking. But you got to make the trade, you know, in terms of trying to entice the free agent. He's got to see that you can actually – it's going to take more than just – more. My point, Dom, has been it takes more than just whoever you draft, number one, to up the kind of quota – for a free agent to view you as being the final piece of a puzzle of a team that can win over 50 games.
I agree with that.
That's kind of, yeah. So that's kind of where I'm standing in all this. So as we discuss this, it'll be really big. Let's go to Chirac, who's on with John. Hey, Chirac.
Hey, John, how are you? Hope you're doing well. It's been a couple of weeks. So as I'm looking at it, I'm not thinking about becoming a contender. You're trying to build a team on a foundation. I actually think they move Clint Capella. They probably move DeAndre Hunter. Could be to New Orleans, sure. But they're definitely going to try to move either Trey Young or DeJounte Murray for sure. They've got to reset the timeline. I don't see a plausible way to build a competitor. You're talking about going from 10 to 3. Like, think about the teams you got to pass to get from 10 to 3. There's not one or two players in free agency that you can add today that gets you from 10 to 3. I mean, you're not better than Boston. You're definitely not better than Milwaukee. And you're definitely not better than Cleveland. And that doesn't count Miami. And that doesn't count New York. So you're not getting to 3 while keeping Trey Young or DeJounte Murray. One of them has got to go.
This is where I'm going to disagree with you, Chirac. I think if you keep Trey Young, if you got Trey Young and Jalen Johnson, if you get a Brandon Ingram, you get go into free agency. By the way, you mentioned New York. What if you stole OG Anunoby from New York?
I like him. He's a good player. I think
I think he's a really good player. And then you got Donovan Klingon in the middle. I think you could take a jump past the Knicks. I think you could take a jump past Miami. I think you can jump right into. I don't think Milwaukee's all that. They got one great player. You know, they've got a couple other guys that are okay. You know, I mean, but I'm not scared of no Milwaukee. I would say to you, go back 3 years and watch what Trae Young did to Milwaukee, and that's pretty much the same Milwaukee team. We just got to get better.
But that's 3 years ago. Since that time, his winning percentage has regressed. He's a great stat stuffer, but his winning percentage has regressed. I mean, look.
Well, wait a second. Whose fault is that? But whose fault is that? Is it his?
That's his fault.
Wait a second. His fault. It's not his fault.
It's not his fault. It's the front office's fault. I have zero confidence in the front office.
That's fair enough. That, but okay, now we get down to the point here. You have zero confidence in the front, which is fine, and that's okay, Sharrock. I do too. This is where they have to earn it. If they do this right, they can reinvent this franchise, and they can take a huge step up.
You know how I would reinvent the franchise? Reset the timeline. Next year's draft is loaded. Top five picks have an opportunity to be stars. Oh, much better than this year's draft. That's why next year's unrestricted draft pick that's sitting in San Antonio is so valuable. We got to get that back. You just have to. That's where the hangup is. Our only
I know. I'm not gonna. I can't argue that. I can't argue that point. I can't argue it. No, you're right. I can't. The trade for DeJounte Murray was no bueno.
So we'll see. You know, I'm, you know, as eagerly looking as all of us to see what the next, you know, 96 hours looks like. I think it's as critical a time in Hawks franchise history as, and I've been here 15 years, right? It's as important as the Luka Trey Young trade, right? We'll have to just see. I'm going to take this with a longer term view than just the next season. I think we need to think about the next 1, 2, 3 seasons, especially if you want a player like a Jason Tatum or a Jaylen Brown or somebody who changes the complexion of your franchise. You got to go and get that guy, and you got to give him a little bit of time, right? Trey Young's been here 4 or 5 years. I don't know if he's that guy, but we still need another one.
Yeah, Sharrock, we need 3 new starters. We need another guy, a couple new guys on the bench. I appreciate the call. I want to get other people in here. You and I are going to disagree on this timeline thing. I am not in the business of 3 years from now. I'm not in the business of 2 years from now. I'm in the business of next year. Let's go. You have an opportunity to remake a franchise that is a golden ticket that nobody else has ever had before. Okay? Do it. Make it happen. Steve is with us. Hey, Steve.
Hey, John, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, so I want to hit on a couple of points that you and the last caller were just talking about. I think the problem is with the front office. You know, looking at the NBA Finals, you saw Luka and the Celtics, and I think the Hawks can learn two valuable lessons from that. One, don't ever trade again, right? Like, you traded Trae Young for Luka, bad trade. You just mentioned the DeJounte Murray trade, bad trade. Like, somebody needs to take away their trade privileges. Also, with the Celtics, you got to give these guys time. I mean, think about how many people we're talking about. You got to break up Tatum and Brown. You got to break them up. You got to break them up. Back in the 80s and 90s, when I grew up watching basketball, guys played together for years before they reached the finals and got it done. It's not too much different. I think we're in a microwave society where people struggle for a little bit and people want to hit the reset button. You're not going to get good value if you trade either one of them. You're going to get taken advantage of. The Hawks already proved they don't know how to trade. They're like that guy in your fantasy football league who doesn't know what he's doing and just trades people away. Like, well, don't trade. Just take Klingman. Keep building and trust the process, because you really don't have too many other options at this point.
Well, too many other options. You have a golden ticket that nobody's ever had in the history of the NBA. What are you talking about? Nobody's ever had this opportunity. Nobody. Do you not understand that?
What golden ticket are you referring to? The number one pick?
Excuse me. You have the number one pick, and you could trade an entire roster, including a superstar in his prime. Nobody's ever had the ability.
For who, John? Who are they going
to
get?
I don't know. That's up to them to make it work. I mean,
exactly.
I don't know.
No one knows, because there's nobody out there. People just aren't.
Of course there's players out there. If you call, of course there's players out there. What if you said
name three players, John? You can't just say a player.
Up to them. I mean, I can name a ton of players. I mean, I can name everybody. What if I call up? I don't know. You want me to? I call up and I say to New Orleans, I want Zion Williamson. What do you want? I call up because I could trade everybody. Right? I mean, I call up Milwaukee.
What is Zion Williamson going to do that Trae Young and DeJounte Murray have not done? Zion Williamson is not going to get you a championship. He's not that guy. He's exciting, but he's not a championship caliber player.
Right, so who would get you that? Who would get you the championship?
I think that if I were the Hawks, I would stick with what I have.
No. Who? You have an opportunity to go get the you have an opportunity, Steve, to go get the guy that you can win a championship with. Who is that?
You talking about in the trade?
Yeah.
I wouldn't trade. That's what I just said, John.
No, I would not trade. No, you can. You have. Nobody's had this opportunity. I could trade you Trae Young in the number one pick. Who has ever had that opportunity? I could trade you Trey in the number one pick. Who would you go get? It's a unique opportunity that nobody's ever had before, right?
Okay, so if I could trade for anybody, give me Ant-Man. You know, bring him home. Why not? But, I mean, that's not going to happen, John. I mean, you're talking hypotheticals. Teams aren't giving up their superstars to help out the Hawks. They're just not going to do that. And the Hawks, they don't have any leverage in this because everybody knows they want to restart. So who are you going to go get? You're not going to get anybody that's going to change their franchise. It's going to be markedly better than what you have. So you have to stay put and keep building. And hope
boy, if you stay put and keep building,
out.
Steve, I got to go to a break. That's going to be the most damn disappointing thing. That will be an utter fail in my book. Steve wants to have stay put, and Chirac wants to go 3 years from now. All right, guys, enjoy it. It's an utter fail in my book. But that's just me. That's why we disagree. And without being, see how we can disagree. I disagree with Chirac. I disagree with Steve. We weren't disagreeable. They're okay with this. With like 10, 9, 8. They're okay with it. I'm not. But that's just me. On Sports Radio 99 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Our Atlanta United play here.
Oh my goodness!
If it matters to a United fan, hear it first, even on the weekend.
Your weekend plays here.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, I guess based on the last couple of callers here, a couple of guests that I've had, I should re-examine my hopes and desires for the Atlanta Hawks. I was thinking here in the break, I could do something else here. I could take Trey and DeJounte, this year's number one pick, Clint, Okongwu, Hunter, Jalen, Bogey, trade them all. Of course, if you trade Trey to San Antonio, I'm going to get four for this year. Then I'm going to get the three picks that we lost in the DeJounte trade back. Trey and the number one pick to San Antonio. I'm also going to have to take on a lot of dead weight, because we've got to match up contracts. And then I think we should just start Kobe Bufkin and Muhammad Gay next year. We should trade the rest of the guys, Hunter and Bogey, Jalen, and just get draft picks and load up, because we just should blow it up and start over. And just, you know, because obviously you shouldn't even try this year to make your team really better, because you can't do it. Nobody's going to do it. You know, I mean, you just can't do it. I'm just shaking my head. The next few days, they better damn do it. Which part of nobody's ever had this opportunity before? It's never existed. I've been challenging people to tell me, Dom, when has it ever existed that a team had a superstar in his prime and the number one pick, and they could package them together in a trade? When has that ever happened?
I can't think of another time.
You won't get anything for that? You get nothing? Really? Okay. Trade Trey in the number one pick. Trade DeJounte and Clint. I just trade everybody. Don't even try. I mean, it's always, I'm okay, I'm willing to accept what it, no, this has to be, you have to go big or go home. Okay? You have to spend whatever you have to spend in the luxury tax. You got to go. Now is the time to strike. You got 3 years left with Trae Young. Now is the time to strike. If you botch this, you will have wasted the Trae Young thing. And I'm not going to bother to go over with you again this whole crap narrative that the Luka trade was, you know, by design. You know, you guys don't understand what happened, okay? I can't break confidences. Luka did not want to be here, okay? That's all I can tell you. He's like, yeah. It was like Eli Manning not wanting to be with the Chargers. It was like John Elway not wanting to be with the Colts. He and Dirk are tight. He wanted to be in. Okay, I don't have to. I can't walk you through this anymore, you know? All right, so, you know, I think there's an assumption that there was one faction that wanted Luka here and another faction that wanted Trey, and they were fighting between each other. That's not what happened, okay? But, you know, you believe whatever you want to believe. Well, yes. I do want to get this into the to the show here, Dom. Dom, you go to college football games, right?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, and you're a big fan of?
Well, funny enough, I'm not like a big fan of any one university or anything. Like, I root for Georgia State, but that's because I'm an alum. But like growing up, I didn't have like one college football team that I was like a huge fan of. No.
Because, you know, and I mentioned this the other day, but there's an update on this story. Georgia's going to sell beer at Sanford Stadium this year, right?
Love it.
And the one thing I can't find out is what they're going to charge for it. Now, Tennessee is the most expensive in the country. They $13 a beer. And then I have a Vols fan sent me this note. Well, it's $13 the most expensive because it's, you know, 24 ounces. Okay. Do I not know that others aren't 24 ounces? Or are they all... You're saying Tennessee's 13 for 24, but everybody else is 16? I don't know that. I've not been to those stadiums. I don't buy beer at sporting events. I don't buy beer at concerts. I'm at the Fox at a concert not too long ago. I don't know, last 4 or 5 months ago. And the wife and I go up, and we go up to the, you know, and the Fox, you go up to the bartender there, and we get two tall boys. It's the last time I bought alcohol, and I'll never do it again. We get two tall boy beers, right? And they're, and then we get, she says, can I get one of those margarita, cans of margarita? So it's three cans, right, Dom? Three cans, mm-hmm. Two tall boys and a can of the margarita. $42.
Yeah.
$42.
I was literally at the Fox Theater this past Thursday. There was a band in town that I went to go see, and I got two beers, and both of those beers were like $13 a piece.
You know, it was like, and then she's like, "Can I?" And then she's like, "You know," she slides the thing around, and says, "Tip," and I'm like, "You grab three cans out of a cooler, and you want me to give you $8 and a 20% for what?" Okay, I'm done. I'm done. I'm just done. I'm just done. And so, there's a reason I carry some single-dollar bills with me at all times in case I get into one of those situations where somebody wants me to tip them for handing me something that I could have grabbed myself. I'm not talking about a waiter or waitress who comes through and does all the work and is hustling to bring you food and grab you this. Somebody turns around in a cooler and hands you something and then wants you to tip them. I carry dollars around because I'll take a dollar and put it on the table or stick it in the thing. You get a buck and you'll like it. Okay, I shouldn't even give you that. But, you know, anyway, I'm not being a bad guy. I'm just saying, come on. I mean, really. So Tennessee's $13. That's a 24-ounce beer, according to one Vol fan. But Tennessee fans are going to be drinking a lot of beer in Omaha, especially today if they don't win against A&M. $10 a beer at Arkansas, Alabama, and Texas A&M. $8.50 at Oklahoma and Ole Miss. $8 at Georgia Tech. Again, I assume that's 16 ounces. I don't know. $5 at Wake Forest, Louisville, and Oregon, $3 at TCU and Tulane. Oh, yeah, we're going to get drunk at the game.
Yeah, now, say, we
now you're talking.
To a TCU game.
I'm going down there. $3 a beer? Yeah, okay, let's go. Because now some of the teams that are, you know, charging the $10, like Arkansas, Alabama, A&M, Tennessee, and I assume Georgia will be in that range, probably about $10, you know. Some of these teams are starting to talk. There's a thing that came out and said, colleges are going to start investigating no re-entry. Because what do college fans do? They leave at halftime, right? They go out to their cars, they drink beer, and they come back in. Well, now that they're selling beer, they're going to explore no re-entry. In other words, you want beer, you got to buy ours.
Yeah, we'll still find a way to sneak it in.
Well, you can sneak a beer in. I mean, I sneak stuff in. I'm the guy that, you know, I don't like spending like $9.50 for a candy bar and $7 for
right.
a small Coke at a movie theater.
Yeah.
So I'm the guy that, you know, I fill up a plastic baggie with a bunch of, you know, candy that I bought at the Kroger and take a bottle of water and stuff it down my pants and that I'm good to go. You know, the one thing I will buy at a movie theater only because occasionally, because it's far enough away from another meal, I buy popcorn because, you know, you get the buttered popcorn, you know, there's something that hits different, but yeah, and I'm not, nothing else, you know.
It is funny because I was going to say the only time I ever like do have ever really want popcorn is when I'm at a movie theater. Like there's no other, like I know a lot of other people eat popcorn and stuff like that all like just as a snack. I literally only ever crave popcorn when I'm at a movie theater.
Well, and I'm the same way, except my wife does really like popcorn, and so we get popcorn here, and then we when we watch, and occasionally we'll sit down to watch, once in a rare moon, a couple times a year, there'll be a movie that was like at the theaters that we really wanted to watch, and we wait till it comes to the streaming, and so it becomes movie night. And when it becomes movie night, then we do have popcorn, and we make it feel like a movie. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, yeah. I'll go get some, you know, licorice or something, and we make it feel like a movie night, you know, Reese's Pieces, which I have to stay away from because I like them way too much. Okay, you can have your M&Ms. Keep me away from the Reese's Pieces, because if you had a bowl of Reese's Pieces there, I'm pretty much gonna eat the whole bowl. Okay, no, can't do that. So, but anyway, yeah, no, this would be interesting to see what happens with beer sales. Yeah, no reentry because, and that's what I've always done. You know, pre-beer sales, we'd be out there in the parking lot, you know, working it up before the game, go into the game, and then with about 3 minutes, you know, if there was nothing really going to happen at the end of the half, we'd scat out to beat the crowd, get out there and pop a couple of beers during halftime, you know, two or even three, and then go back into the game, right? And so, yeah, you know, that was the whole thing. Now they're saying they're going to experiment with no reentry. Why did they no reentry? Because they want you to buy your $13 beer at Neyland Stadium. They don't want you going out to your boat. They don't want you going out to your, and if you've never been to Neyland Stadium, yes, there are boats. There are lots of them. It's around the river. And the Vol Navy goes in, and there's hundreds of boats. All right, so anyway, they don't want you going out and getting the cheapy beer out of your car or your boat. They want you to buy the $13 24-ounce beer. Okay? Money. M-O-N-E-Y. Money, money, money. I'm flummoxed by this whole Hawks thing, Dom. These days, I'm not sure there's ever a moment that you can go all the way to the top of the card and say it's make or break for your franchise, but this is as close as it gets. Because you do this right, and this team, you know, the one caller, oh, you're never getting a number three, you can't pass the Knicks. Why not? Why the hell not, Dom? You could pass the Knicks, can't you? Yes.
Anything
then
is
the
possible.
Knicks. I mean, you've got Trey and Jalen. If you put three new starters around them, you're as good as they. You're probably better than they are. Pass the Knicks. You know, you have Trey and Jalen, and you get three really effective, good starters and some good guys off the bench, and really, you got a team that can. You got a team that works. And this whole Milwaukee thing. Did I miss that they've dominated the game over the last few years? I mean, because I don't think they have. They've been good. If they dominated the NBA, they had a title, but I mean, people acting like that they're the be-all, end-all, you know? Fear the deer, you know? I mean, okay, they're good. I don't know. Maybe I'm missing it. Maybe I'm missing that they just they're 70 wins every year.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We got to see what they look like in the playoffs next year. Obviously, Giannis and Dame weren't healthy for this series. I think that'll change some things. But
look, Giannis is a great player.
The team that has been the dominant force in the East is the one that won the championship year, and that's Boston. They're the standard.
Right. Right. Of course they're the standard. Didn't you beat Boston twice this year with this depleted Hawks team back-to-back?
You did.
That's right, you did. You take them to six games in the playoffs last year with that crummy Hawks team?
Yes, you did.
Really? Is it that big a leap? Let Trae Young be Trae Young. Okay? When Trae Young was Trae Young and you let Trae Young go, what did you do? You bowed at center court at Madison Square Garden. You took out Embiid in game 7. Oh, Ben Simmons sucked. Oh, okay. Yeah, it's always something else, right? You had Milwaukee on the ropes. And if he doesn't step on a referee's foot, we might be talking about a parade. But then you took Trae away from being Trae. Just saying. And you all hate Trae. Okay. All right, here we go. Going to be a wild week. Busy week. NBA draft on Wednesday night. Stand by for a lot of Hawks news. Braves and Yankees underway. Big Braves week. Boy, tell you what, going to be fun. I'll talk to you again here. Stay tuned, stay sharp, and let's go. Let's do this, Hawks. This is your week. Let's do this big. Go big or go home. Thank you, Dom. Stand by at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Our Atlanta United play here.
Oh, my God!
If it matters to a United fan, hear it first, even on the weekend.
Your weekend plays here.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, I guess based on the last couple of callers here, a couple of guests that I've had, I should re-examine my hopes and desires for the Atlanta Hawks. I was thinking here in the break, I could do something else here. I could take Trey and DeJounte, this year's number one pick, Clint, Okongwu, Hunter, Jalen, Bogey, trade them all. Of course, if you trade Trey to San Antonio, I'm going to get four from this year. Then I'm going to get the three picks that we lost in the DeJounte trade back. Trey and the number one pick to San Antonio. I'm also going to have to take on a lot of dead weight, because we've got to match up contracts. And then I think we should just start Kobe Bufkin and Muhammad Gay next year. We should trade the rest of the guys, Hunter and Bogey, Jalen, and just get draft picks. And load up, because we just should blow it up and start over. And just, you know, because obviously you shouldn't even try this year to make your team really better, because you can't do it. Nobody's going to do it. You know, I mean, you just can't do it. I'm just shaking my head. The next few days, they better damn do it. Which part of nobody's ever had this opportunity before? It's never existed. I've been challenging people to tell me, Dom, when has it ever existed that a team had a superstar in his prime and the number one pick, and they could package them together in a trade? When has that ever happened?
I can't think of another time.
You won't get anything for that? You get nothing? Really? Okay. Trade Trey in the number one pick. Trade DeJounte and Clint. I just trade everybody. Don't even try. I mean, it's always, I'm okay. I'm willing to accept what it. No, this has to be, you have to go big or go home. Okay? You have to spend whatever you have to spend in the luxury tax. You got to go. Now is the time to strike. You got 3 years left with Trey Young. Now is the time to strike. If you botch this, you will have wasted the Trae Young thing. And I'm not going to bother to go over with you again this whole crap narrative that the Luka trade was, you know, by design. You know, you guys don't understand what happened, okay? I can't break confidences. Luka did not want to be here, okay? That's all I can tell you. He's like, yeah. It was like Eli Manning not wanting to be with the Chargers. It was like John Elway not wanting to be with the Colts. He and Dirk are tight. He wanted to be in. Okay, I don't have to. I can't walk you through this anymore, you know? All right, so, you know, I think there's an assumption that there was one faction that wanted Luka here and another faction that wanted Trey, and they were fighting between each other. That's not what happened, okay? But, you know, you believe whatever you want to believe. Well, yes. I do want to get this into the show here, Dom. Dom, you go to college football games, right?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, and you're a big fan of?
Well, funny enough, I'm not like a big fan of any one university or anything. Like, I root for Georgia State, but that's because I'm an alum. But, like, growing up, I didn't have, like, one college football team that I was, like, a huge fan of, no.
Because, you know, and I mentioned this the other day, but there's an update on this story. Georgia's going to sell beer at Sanford Stadium this year, right?
Love it.
And the one thing I can't find out is what they're going to charge for it. Now, Tennessee is the most expensive in the country. They $13 a beer. And then I have a Vols fan sent me this note. Well, it's $13 the most expensive because it's, you know, 24 ounces. Okay. Do I not know that others aren't 24 ounces? Or are they all... You're saying Tennessee's 13 for 24, but everybody else is 16? I don't know that. I've not been to those stadiums. I don't buy beer at sporting events. I don't buy beer at concerts. I'm at the Fox at a concert not too long ago. I don't know, last 4 or 5 months ago. And the wife and I go up, and we go up to the, you know, in the Fox, you go up to the bartender there, and we get two tall boys. It's the last time I bought alcohol, and I'll never do it again. We get two tall boy beers, right? And then we get she says, can I get one of those margarita cans of margarita? So it's three cans, right, Dom? Three cans, mm-hmm. two tall boys and a can of the margarita. $42.
Yeah.
$42.
I was literally at the Fox Theater this past Thursday. There was a band in town that I went to go see, and I got two beers, and both of those beers were like $13 a piece.
You know, it was like, and then she's like, can I, you know, and then she's like, you know, she slides the thing around and says, tip. And I'm like, you grab three cans out of a cooler and you want me to give you $8 and a 20% for what? Okay, I'm done. I'm just done. And so, there's a reason I carry some single dollar bills with me at all times in case I get into one of those situations where somebody wants me to tip them for handing me something that I could have grabbed myself. I'm not talking about a waiter or waitress who comes through and does all the work and is hustling to bring you food and grab you this. Somebody turns around in a cooler and hands you something and then wants you to tip them. I carry dollars around because I'll take a dollar and put it on the table or stick it in the thing. You get a buck and you'll like it. Okay. I shouldn't even give you that. But, you know, anyway, I'm not being a bad guy. I'm just saying, come on. I mean, really. So Tennessee's $13. That's a 24-ounce beer, according to one Vol fan. The Tennessee fans are going to be drinking a lot of beer in Omaha, especially today if they don't win against A&M. $10 a beer at Arkansas, Alabama, and Texas A&M. $8.50 at Oklahoma and Ole Miss. $8 at Georgia Tech. Again, I assume that's 16 ounces. I don't know. $5 at Wake Forest, Louisville, and Oregon. $3 at TCU and Tulane. Oh, yeah, we're going to get drunk at the game.
Yeah, now, say, we
now
need
you're
to go
talking.
To a TCU game.
I'm going down to $3 a beer? Yeah, okay, let's go. Because now some of the teams that are, you know, charging the $10, like Arkansas, Alabama, A&M, Tennessee, and I assume Georgia will be in that range, probably about $10, you know. Some of these teams are starting to talk. There's a thing that came out and said colleges are going to start investigating no re-entry. Because what do college fans do? They leave at halftime, right? They go out to their cars, they drink beer, and they come back in. Well, now that they're selling beer, they're going to explore no re-entry. In other words, you want beer, you got to buy ours.
Yeah, we'll still find
Just
a
saying.
Way to sneak it in.
Well, you can sneak a beer in. I mean, I sneak stuff in. I'm the guy that, you know, I don't like spending like $9.50 for a candy bar and $7 for
right.
a small Coke at a movie theater.
Yeah.
So I'm the guy that, you know, I fill up a plastic baggie with a bunch of, you know, candy that I bought at the Kroger and take a bottle of water and stuff it down my pants and that I'm good to go. You know, the one thing I will buy at a movie theater only because occasionally, because it's far enough away from another meal, I buy popcorn because, you know, you get the butter popcorn, you know, there's something that hits different, but nothing else, you know.
It is funny because I was going to say the only time I ever really want popcorn is when I'm at a movie theater. Like there's no, other, like I know a lot of other people eat popcorn and stuff like that all like just as a snack. I literally only ever crave popcorn when I'm at a movie theater.
Well, and I'm the same way, except my wife does really like popcorn, and so we get popcorn here, and then when we watch, and occasionally we'll sit down to watch, once in a rare moon, a couple times a year, there'll be a movie that was like at the theaters that we really wanted to watch, and we wait till it comes to the streaming, and so it becomes movie night. And when it becomes movie night, then we do have popcorn, and we make it feel like a movie. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, yeah, I'll go get some, you know, licorice or something, and we make it feel like a movie night. You know, Reese's Pieces, which I have to stay away from because I like them way too much. Okay? You can have your M&Ms. Keep me away from the Reese's Pieces. Because if you had a bowl of Reese's Pieces there, I'm pretty much going to eat the whole bowl. Okay? No, can't do that. So, but anyway, yeah, no, this will be interesting to see what happens with beer sales. Yeah, no re-entry. Because, and that's what I've always done. You know, pre-beer sales, we'd be out there in the parking lot, you know, working it up before the game, go into the game, and then with about 3 minutes, you know, if there was nothing really going to happen at the end of the half, we'd scat out to beat the crowd, get out there and pop a couple of beers during halftime, you know, two or even three, and then go back into the game, right? And so, Yeah, you know, that was the whole thing. Now they're saying they're going to experiment with no reentry. Why did they no reentry? Because they want you to buy your $13 beer at Neyland Stadium. They don't want you going out to your boat. They don't want you going out to your, and if you've never been to Neyland Stadium, yes, there are boats. There are lots of them. It's around the river. And the Vol Navy goes in, and there's hundreds of boats. All right, so anyway, they don't want you going out and getting the cheapy beer out of your car or your boat. They want you to buy the $13 24-ounce beer. Okay? Money. M-O-N-E-Y. Money, money, money. I'm flummoxed by this whole Hawks thing, Dom. These days, I'm not sure there's ever a moment that you can go all the way to the top of the card and say it's make or break for your franchise, but this is as close as it gets. Because you do this right, and this team, you know, the one caller, oh, you're never getting a number three, you can't pass the Knicks. Why not? Why the hell not, Dom? You could pass the Knicks, can't you? Yes.
Anything
then
is
the
possible.
Knicks. I mean, you've got Trey and Jalen. If you put three new starters around them, you're as good as they. You're probably better than they are. Pass the Knicks. You know, you have Trey and Jalen, and you get three really effective, good starters and some good guys off the bench, and really, you got a team that can. You got a team that works. And this whole Milwaukee thing. Did I miss that they've dominated the game over the last few years? I mean, did I? Because I don't think they have. They've been good. If they dominated the NBA, they had a title. But I mean, people acting like that they're the be all end all. You know, fear the deer. You know, I mean, okay, they're good. I don't know. Maybe I'm missing it. Maybe I'm missing that they just they're 70 wins every year.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We got to see what they look like in the playoffs next year. Obviously, Giannis and Dame weren't healthy for this series. I think that'll change some things. But
look, Giannis is a great player.
The team that has been the dominant force in the East is the one that won the championship year, and that's Boston. They're the standard.
Right. Right. Of course they're the standard. Didn't you beat Boston twice this year with this depleted Hawks team back-to-back?
You did.
That's right, you did. You take them to six games in the playoffs last year with that crummy Hawks team?
Yes, you did.
Really? Is it that big a leap? Let Trae Young, free Trae Young. Let Trae Young be Trae Young. Okay? When Trae Young was Trae Young and you let Trae Young go, what did you do? You bowed at center court at Madison Square Garden. You took out Embiid in game 7. Oh, Ben Simmons sucked. Oh, okay. Yeah, it's always something else, right? You had Milwaukee on the ropes. And if he doesn't step on a referee's foot, we might be talking about a parade. But then you took Trae away from being Trae. Just saying. And you all hate Trae. Okay. All right, here we go. Going to be a wild week. Busy week. NBA draft on Wednesday night. Stand by for a lot of Hawks news. Braves and Yankees underway. Big Braves week. Boy, tell you what. Going to be fun. I'll talk to you again here. Stay tuned, stay sharp, and let's go. Let's do this, Hawks. This is your week. Let's do this big. Go big or go home. Thank you, Dom. Stand by at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.